shall be confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day. Hey, I want to talk about that Aaliyah, One in a Million. I think that everybody wants to be that one in a million, that chosen person in somebody's life, that number one spot. Even with, like, you know, your family, or you got siblings, you want to be the favorite. Me, that's what I want. No, I'm playing. And then there's in a relationship, you want to be that one person they choose to spend the rest of their life with. Or even, you know, you want to be chosen for that great position. You want to be the one. Everybody wants to be that one. We want to feel special. We want to feel like we matter. And that's highly important, especially in relationships. And you see the conflict constantly happen because it's different for men and women. I'm not saying, you know, it's easier or better or whatever. I'm saying that for women, we are constantly seeing, especially when we're kids, it's the princess and the prince. And prime example, Cinderella, she's had this hard life and she goes to the ball and she never expected, but she's chosen out of all these women that's at the ball. Because he just finds her exquisitely beautiful and just captivating. And he just has to spend the rest of his life with her. So he goes through these huge transitions to try to figure out who fits this random shoe to find her. And they marry and live happily ever after. As a girl, or as a little girl, we see these constant movies that show how every woman is chosen for their lives to be changed by a prince or a king. You ever find it to be crazy? And as we get older, we never really realize that we want that. We want that one special guy or girl or whatever you're looking for to choose us out of everybody else in the world. To say, I seriously cannot live without you. Now, the problem with that is how we've been brainwashed to think. Is that to some people, you're not the one. To some people, you're just a temporary person and they're going to feed off that. Or sometimes they didn't even know that you weren't the one and you wasted so much time. Time is very precious, by the way. And I think that a lot of people hold on to people knowing that they're not the one. But because we only know that mentality, or we strive for that throughout our lives to be that one in a million, is that we go through hoops that we don't even need to go through. And I had a conversation with my cousin. And I'm telling you from personal experience. I'm not BSing you. But I sat up there and fully understood why, me personally, I want that. And I'm gonna be as bluntly honest as possible. You could judge me all you want. But throughout life, I wanted to be the one for my parents, because my father left me when I was at a young age, and you know, he was going through things, which I'll talk further into the episodes. But I always wanted him to want me as a kid. And so I was left with my grandparents, and, you know, my grandfather was amazed, but my grandma was she was very stern, and I didn't understand why. So I wanted to be the one that broke their mentality for teachings. I wanted that. And for my family, my cousins, what cool, now I love them to death, but they used to tease me. They really used to tease me, and you know, I used to be really hurt by it, because I'm like, well, hell, I mean, I'm not with my parents. My parents don't want me, so at least my cousin will want me. But they were bullying me. So I was like, they don't want me. So I wanted to be that one that they actually liked, but they didn't. And then, you know, as I got older, relationships, you know what I'm saying? Even that there were kids or even as an adult, I always wanted to be that one. But I was never chosen. I'm always the good girl type of mentality that they have, like, you're too good for me, and then they go with somebody else and they're like perfect, you know? Crazy, right? But I've had those patterns happen to me over and over. And so I was just talking to my cousin. I was like, you know what, I realized that I have that complexity. And she was like, well, why you say that? I said, because throughout my life I've been second, I've been an alternative option. That's how I felt as a kid, or you know, in my past, is I've been an alternative option, and for once I would want to be the primary option. And then I had to sit there and think, you know, everything comes from your childhood, whether you know it or not. But the true thing, the most amazing thing that you can realize is what's the issue. You know, you go to therapy classes and you have a therapist and stuff like that to find the root of everything. But when you, crazy thing is that if you sit up there and just talk and, you know, just acknowledge everything from A to Z, you basically are your own therapist. Or even if your friends, you have a conversation with them, you'll figure out what's the root of everything. And I realized that as a kid, you know, that's what you see. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants to be that one in a million. Even if you're going through a competition, you want to be first place. Why? Because first place has all these cool prizes and you get to be acknowledged and everything. Everybody wants to be one. Everybody wants to be one. But they don't teach you how to handle not being one. Nobody does. Oh, they'll teach you how to be a winner and how to find love and how to be the top seller. And they'll advertise that success. But nobody ever really talks about when you're not the winner. When you're a loser or you lose. Nobody ever tells you when you get your heart broken because you're not the one. Nobody really tells you on feeling like, you know, you're, I'm sorry to say this and cursing, bastard child, or feeling like your family don't want you. Nobody ever teaches you how to handle that. Nobody. There's not a movie about it, you know what I'm saying? Or there probably is and I just never seen it. But there's no explanation other than therapy or counseling to help you transition or deal with not being one in a million. And so that's when we turn ourselves, and we never really notice, we change ourselves to fit what we lost to. So, prime example, this is back in the day when I was younger, I was dating somebody, and you know, I was madly crazy over them and they weren't crazy over me, and they were like, well, this is not working out, and they started dating someone else. And I did not notice this until my homegirl was like, well, what the hell are you doing? I looked at the person they were dating, you know what I'm saying, and I was bigger than, they were smaller than me and had long hair, and I was like, down on myself, I'm like, well, maybe I should get weaver, you know what I'm saying? Well, when I was in high school, my hair was long, it's down my back, but I was like, maybe I should just get weaved to like make it extra long. And I was like, I should start wearing makeup, even though I don't know how to do this. And my homegirl Salika was like, shout out to Salika, what are you doing? She was like, that's not something you do. And she was like, you hate that stuff, like, why are you? And I was like, well, you know, I want to change. She was like, you're not changing for yourself, you're changing for that person because you feel like you need to be what they like now. And you know what, I was like, you're right. That's crazy. I mean, you know. But then I sit up there and think about it like this. You know, we will change ourselves to be what we see as winners. You know how many people want to be Beyonce? And I'm not saying nothing about that. Beyonce's gorgeous. But you know how many girls look up to Beyonce and want to be Beyonce because she's winning, you know? So say winning in life as a singer. So they would change their whole look just to fit her. Or even when we look in movies, we're like, oh, you know, this happily ever after, and we change ourselves to dynamically be that person. Or these relationship hashtag goals, and you see these pictures with these people, you're like, I want to be like them. So you change who you are, or your relationship that was running perfectly fine before you even seen the dang on post, to fit that picture. And you don't even notice it. Why? Why? There is no structure rule. There is no playbook. There is no script to your happiness. And then I also, personally for myself, for you who are listening to me, I fully want you to understand when you aren't the winner, what happens to you and how you can overcome this. And this is something I'm learning every day. Is really, really hard. Is that when I had a huge breakup with somebody and I didn't understand the betrayal, because when we were together, it was like I was constantly told that this was perfect. This was it. This is. But at the end of the day, I wasn't chosen. And I was like, I was so confused by it. But then I feel like anything in this world that's meant for me will be meant for me. And maybe that person wasn't meant for me at all. That wasn't my one in a million, because that person would have never gave me that betrayal. Or even in my career, I'm not, like I'm saying, I'm a humble person. I don't hide anything from y'all or to anybody. But my failures, I felt like, were very excruciating to me, because I tried so hard. But then I realized that one in a million aspect that I have, it shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be that hard to be yourself and be comfortable and be embraced. We all have things with our name on it. And though we lost, that really didn't have our name on it. That really wasn't meant for us to keep or have or be a part of. And so the structure, the therapy of realizing you're losing, is really not losing at all. It's really not something you were meant to sustain. And you know what? I'm not going to BS y'all and be like, oh, you know, it's okay to be a loser. Because it's not. It's still a hurtful feeling to feel like you lost something. Or you've been replaced. Or you're just not good enough for that particular thing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say that it's going to be perfect and grand the next day. Because it's going to hurt. It's going to take you time to adjust to not accomplishing or hitting that winning mark. And what people need to understand is that life is not always going to be roses and daisies. It's not. But the winning and achievement of all of it is you embracing that and continuing on to find your winning mark. It's out there. It's reaching for you. This is stages of life. I mean, you could be 65 and be childish. You can be 16 and mature. It's all in dynamics. It's all in what you believe in yourself. But every day is a learning experience and a day for you to either win or lose. And that is the risk we take. That is something we always have to feel. And I was telling somebody, I was like, I'm not going to lie to you and say, you know, I know the answer to everything, because I don't. But what holds people back is fear. Fear of losing. Because one day you could be a winner, then tomorrow you're losing everything. But the best part about that, when you lose everything, trust me, is that you don't give up to go back and get it again. That winning mark. To go back and say, hey, it's not over. It's not done. I'm not done. I have a little bit left in me. So whether you're winning today or whether you're losing today, you need to get up and continue forth. Because that is a true winner. A person that doesn't give up on themselves, doesn't give up on life. And then if you lose, it's fine. It's difficult to swallow, yes. It's complicated to grasp that. Yes. Yes, of course. But all you need is that one yes to keep going and you can go. So, I need you to believe. It's important to believe. In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henny signing off. Have a good one, y'all.